Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Kyle with me, and we also have a brand new guest to the pod, first timer, but you might have heard some of his family members before, or a family member of his before.
Has Mark been on this one before?
Actually, yeah, he has been. Right? So, multiple family members on the pod. Welcome, Christian LaChica. Welcome, Christian.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
We kind of just grabbed Christian a few minutes ago, so we didn't give him a ton of time to prepare, but he's in the Brett chair, so he's going to go off the dome today. Christian, with all of our first-time guests, we like to ask the question, what has God been highlighting to you recently? So, what's God been showing you?
In the time right now, I've been doing the Hearing God's Voice boot camp with Pastor Barry, and that's been good.
Oh, good, because we're probably going to ask you some questions about that a little bit later, too. So,
oh, great.
Sorry for jumping in.
That's fine. But really right now, it's I've been in a season of waiting, and as I've been waiting, it's been a little bit easier to hear his voice, especially with the class. But specifically, like, I feel like the Lord's been getting me in, wanting me to get into ministry. Mm. And even more than that, evangelism. Mm. Even, like, by myself, like, just stepping out in faith and just sharing the good news.
So you said that's easier right now. Is that because there's just less distractions, less busyness or something? Or what is it about this season you're in that's easier for you?
I guess for me, it's like I don't have an excuse. I'm not doing anything.
Hey, there you go. Well, I mean, a lot of people make up excuses when they have that a time available. So that's good. I'm glad you're not doing that.
Yeah. Do you want to share with our listeners a little bit about, like, what the waiting season is for? Like, what are you waiting for?
Oh, the waiting season? Backstory, I just finished a trade school, and now I finished in a time of there's no jobs open for it at the moment. But I guess statistically and, like, in the past, it's, like, around right now when they're not hiring. So maybe, like, August, September is when it starts picking up again.
Okay.
And what's your trade? The reason I'm asking is because I think it's going to play into some of the direction that this episode is going to go.
Good call, Damon.
So I just want a little bit more information on, like, what your trade is, what you're doing, so that our listeners can understand when I start asking you more questions later about, some of that direction of what your position actually is. So what's your trade, and what were you learning about in school?
The name of the trade is lineman, not the football kind, as most people like to ask, but also line work. But it's about, like, the telephone poles that you see on the street, the underground, those green boxes that some people don't even know about. Mm-hmm. Essentially, it's electricity, high voltage. That's how you get. It's just power delivery, delivering electricity from substation generation to your house, to the Freedom Center. Mm-hmm. How you get energy. If any faults, anything goes wrong, we fix it up to construction and building it.
And what are some things that you have to do to fix it?
I gotta climb those wood poles, or the safer way, use a bucket truck.
Yeah, so you were showing me a couple pictures recently of some of the poles that you were climbing, and I'm like, man, that's kind of crazy. What's the highest pole that you've had to climb?
Okay, I didn't have to because it was optional. And they were like, you can climb it for a sticker. And I was like, shoot, I'll do it. 80-foot pole.
Wow, so you've climbed 80-foot pole. That's incredible.
Okay, what was it, a cool sticker?
It was like the rest of the stickers that I got. They're all the same.
Okay, so part of the reason that I'm asking some of these questions is just to give some context, because, you know, we're in the season of talking about fear to faith, right? And so in your position, you know, when you showed me some of the things that you're having to do, like, instantly, as someone who has had a kind of a fear of falling from high places, to see that you're actually having to do this and wanting to do this as part of your job, it's kind of incredible to me. So that's a question that I just have for you, is, like, how do you feel like either God has prepared you to do this job, or how do you feel like you are embracing a job that for a lot of people invokes fear?
Hold on. You said somebody that has a fear of falling from high places. Is that you or him?
No, it's me.
Oh, okay. Well, you said you. I wasn't no, sure. I wanted a clarification. I'm like, I don't think he has that.
No, so. I said as someone who has a fear of falling from high places, I don't understand how you're able to do that. Like, yeah, it's kind of crazy that you're willing and wanting to go to those and to say, oh, 80-foot pole, like, it's an optional thing. I'd be like, oh, heck no. And then you're like, yeah, I'll do it. What are you going to get out of it? A sticker? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think in that conversation when I showed you the picture, you said, like, I've been training for that my whole life by climbing trees, you know. Half and Filipino, it counts. It works. It helps.
And falling from trees, too, I hear. Oh.
No, that was his brother.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That was Josh.
Oh, speaking of that, that just brought to mind. That was at Zeke's birthday party, right?
Yeah, Zeke's birthday.
So just wanted to give a shout out to the Wogans because I did get a chance to visit them in Colorado last week. Shout out to Liv and Nick. Yeah, it was a great time seeing you guys. Miss you guys already. Just want to give you guys a shout out, and especially in light of our talking about Josh falling at Zeke's birthday party. All right, so back to the question, Christian. Like, do you feel like in a special way that God has prepared you already for this, or do you feel like, no, I'm still scared, and I'm just I need a job, and so if this sounds cool, I'll go for it.
Definitely kind of like an aspect of both. In the beginning, like when I first started climbing, like not the trees, but more so like the poles, like the actual stuff I'll be working with, there was definitely a lot more fear in it. Mainly trusting my equipment, and like that is definitely something to do with like, there's a spiritual like connection there too, if you think about it. But yeah, like even now though, like as I would climb, like there's still that aspect of fear because there's so many things that could go wrong, as I've seen in the past and experienced. But like having that fear of what you're doing, but more so like the respectful kind of fear, definitely makes you a lot safer for yourself and less of a danger to the people around you as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a healthy type of fear for sure.
Yeah.
So what do you feel like helped you make that shift from like fear, like afraid fear, to like that respectful, healthy fear? What do you think helped in that process?
A lot of repetition. We would climb the poles like Tuesday, Thursday, but it would be like hundreds of times just up and down, getting used to different heights and then staying up there working with what I would be doing. And because of that repetition, like you get comfortable in it. Yeah.
It's interesting hearing you describe that because I think I've had a similar journey with different types of fears, and I think a lot of people do, that it's you really can overcome them or at least manage them, I think, in a healthy way. But it takes exposure to it, and it takes actually just engaging in that whatever it is that causes you fear, and you start realizing, okay, like this isn't as bad as I thought, or I can handle this, I can manage it. I think you do it in a healthy way when you have that respect for it. Like, oh, there could be harm. There could be like bad consequences. But when you go from, I don't even want to talk about it or approach it and that kind of fear versus like, oh, I can engage with it. And as you slowly step into it, it kind of like brings it down to like, oh, this is a manageable thing. It's not like I had it in my head. Like, oh, this was like some big thing I couldn't overcome.
Yeah, exactly. I think like one of the big like kind of sayings is like face your fears, and like
yes,
like just doing that, like it's like slapping yourself in the face and just going up, like
yeah,
that's all it really takes, but easy to say.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like facing your fears, it's not like saying they're not there, like just ignoring them, because I mean that's not realistic either. Like, oh no, I shouldn't have those, I'm just like, I'm gonna block it out. It's like, oh no, they're there, but I have to actually like face it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you had mentioned, you know, in this process that there's a spiritual aspect too. And especially kind of, you guys have been talking about, both of you guys are involved in the Hearing God's Voice boot camp.
Yeah.
I want to call it a class, but really it's boot camp, right?
It is, yeah.
I do feel like there's an aspect of that when we are trying to hear God's voice, or we even think about hearing God's voice. It's like, well, what if God tells me to do something I don't want to do? What if God tells me to do something that's scary? What? And there's kind of that a fear in that. How do you guys approach that? And do you think that, kind of like you said before, that repetition or just continuing to press into it will help to move you from a place from fear to faith?
I guess, like, for me, like, something that comes to mind, back in 2018, I went to YWAM, YWAM Salem with the youth group, and what we did there was evangelism, just like how I feel like the Lord's been prepping me in this season. All we did there was evangelize, and that repetition really helped me overcome the fear of just approaching someone and asking if they want prayer. Simple as that. But if you were to think about it now, it's like put in that situation, it'd definitely be nerve wracking. But like that repetition, like God gave me the confidence really. To do so.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I actually had it this morning doing our journaling. So it was day three for this week. And I don't even remember the exact question this morning. But when I read it, I was like, oh, that could get very personal. And so in our class, I'm a facilitator, and Christian, you're a participant. We're in different groups. But we go around, and part of the classes, we share what we got during the week in our homework assignments.
Can you explain a little bit more about the homework assignments and what they are to people that aren't in the class?
Sure. Yeah, so it's 5 days a week. So you Monday through Friday, and if you miss one, you can do it on Saturday instead. But it's simple, but it could be like it's just a verse in the Bible, and what is God telling you through this verse? So it could be related to something like that, the scripture, or it could just be, God, how do you see me? God, how do you feel about me? God, is there a way I've been seeing you wrong? Is there a characteristic of you that I don't understand right now? Why is that? So a lot of them are more personal. We started off with more like, okay, it wasn't that way, but then when it started getting more personal, it's like, oh, if we're going to be sharing these in front of people, in front of my group, like, There's a level of fear because it's with in vulnerability and intimacy. So this morning I kind of felt like a fear of like, oh, I don't know if I want people, like what might come out, right?
Yeah.
And so then I had that kind of voice come in. I'm like, okay, no, I can't go into my exercise that way. I want to be like, okay, no, what does God want to tell me? And so then for me, it showed trust, that I have to trust that whatever God's highlighting to me, it's something that he wants me to share with other people, and he's not going to be ashamed of it. And I need to trust that, oh no, maybe there's things that, oh yeah, they would be really hard, but he knows if I'm ready to share it or I'm not. So I just felt like, and it was good. There was something like, okay, this is going to be a little awkward to share, but I felt like, oh no, I trust that what he gave me was the right thing. So those fears can creep up really easily. And I honestly could have grabbed onto that and been like, oh yeah, that's there. So I'm going to filter what he says, or I'm not going to, or I actually might've blocked completely. Like, oh, I'm not getting anything today because I had that. So yeah, I've had that a couple times on some more of the personal ones over the last few weeks, thinking that thought pops in my head. Oh, you're going to have to share this in front of everybody. Be careful. I'm like, no, I don't want to go into it that way. I see you nodding, Christian.
Yeah, yeah. I think like when you're saying like that nerve-wracking part and like just stepping out in your faith and sharing it with your group.
Yeah.
One thing that like God has been doing with our group and like it's been so good was really just like the confirmation of we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is when we share like what the Lord has like for us, and we go one by one.
Mm-hmm.
The first person goes, the second person goes, and it's similar. Mm-hmm. Third person goes, it's the same as them. And then we all realize, like, wow, like the Lord's working through all of us together.
Mm-hmm.
And this past week was, the similarity for us was, like, the blessing of family.
Mm-hmm.
Even though one person's going through a harder part with their family.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like for me, like, I had more of, like, the, like, thank you, Lord, for, like, my family.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to help each other. Help each other, even though it's different aspects of or perspectives of the family part.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to pray for them and just listen for what God wants to tell them in that moment. Yeah. We're in this together.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I think that's just where our church is at right now in terms of being stronger together. And we're, even in the boot camps, we're able to see how the Lord is using that to make us stronger together, right? Because, like, for Kyle's example, if we're not able to go and be vulnerable with each other, then we're not really going to have that connection and that intimacy if we're not able to go to those places. So it's easy to see why the enemy would not want us to go to those places, right? Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't want us to have that stronger together. Mm-hmm. He wants us just to be surface level and not really tied to each other. So, like, Christian, when you're sharing that your group is able to come together and pray for each other in that in some of those vulnerability times, it's really just bringing our church and our people to be stronger together. So there's a stronger together aspect of, like, the try something new where we're able to, you know, just interact more. But then there's also, like, some of these aspects where the depth is actually mm-hmm. there too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah. For me, even just sharing what I shared, it just shows the different, just the different aspects of fear. Like, that's a fear of vulnerability. There's a fear of rejection. There's a fear of pain. I mean, there's all these different kinds of fears, and we all have ones that maybe are easier that the enemy can use, but then these different ones can pop up out of nowhere that we haven't really dealt with before. So I think even just recognizing fear, but not letting it become so overwhelming or, like, crippling, like, no, okay, it's going to be a challenge to overcome this, but no, I can do it. I trust in the Lord. I trust in the community support I have and things like that.
How are you going to leave us with that, Kyle?
I'm waiting for you guys to finish on it. Come on.
Okay, so like we've been talking about, we are in a season of fear to faith. And, you know, there is an aspect of moving from fear to faith in our own lives, but then there's also the aspect of it in how do we help the people around us to continue to move from fear to faith, and how are we able to support them, especially when it comes to things like family? How are we able to support our family in moving from fear to faith, even when sometimes it might be difficult for us? I'm trying to set it up a little bit, but so Kyle, you shared with me a little bit of a story about something that was going on in your family of where there was a movement from fear to faith, but then it kind of impacted more than just that one person.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a medical issue in our family, and then just without getting into the details, it's with one of my kids, but it. And I don't think it was so much the fear aspect, but it was a step of faith. But then the step of faith brought up some fear. So it was like, oh, faith, but then how do I, there's this new fear then arose because of a step of faith. So how do I do this without it being so complicated? It's a medical decision of, Not ignoring doctor's orders, but stepping out in faith and saying, I think we can minimize some medication or do this or do that.
Well, really, it involves hearing the Lord's voice, right? That's
yeah. But I'm trying to set it up for that. Yeah. It's like there's some things like we're not trying. Let me just share it that way. So yeah, one of my boys heard from the Lord that, oh, I think we're supposed to make this change with some medication with an issue he's going through. And he said he asked the Lord, like, what am I supposed to know about this situation I'm going through? And what am I supposed to do? And it's related to this podcast we had listened to. Have we talked about it on this?
We've talked about it on the podcast. Jamie Winship.
And I thought, he had heard it the day before, and so in the morning he wakes up and he goes, Dad, I think I'm supposed to do this and make this change. And it kind of caught me off guard. And he's like, I think that's what God told me, I'm supposed to do this. And I'm like, okay. He's like, yeah, you remember we're supposed to ask him, what am I supposed to know about this situation? What am I supposed to do? So I'm like, oh, wow. He's a day later he's applying it. And then I said, well, what did God want you to know about this situation? That's like what he asked you to do. So what did he tell you he wanted you to know? And he said, like, God told me I needed to trust him more. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, oh, that's good. But then it hit me as the dad, as the parent, like, oh, I have oversight on this. I have responsibilities too. So then that's where my fear came in. It's like, oh, he wants to take this step of faith. He feels like the Lord's leading him to it. Oh, but that means we're going to modify some doctor order and care. And then I have to like say that to the doctor next time we go in, like, oh, we decided to do this. Well, why? Well, because that's what God told us, you know? So I'm like, all these things are going through my head. And I'm like, okay. So we were kind of going around with it, and I talked to Mimo about it. And, you know, it really came down to the change was small. It wasn't like stop everything, I'm going to take care of it. And it was like, I felt it was in line with God's character of like, oh, it's a step of faith, but it's not so dramatic and it's not life-threatening. It's not even the medical treatment thing. It's not to that level. And I really felt like, oh, and this kid, usually when we do these types of exercises, like, well, hearing the Lord, he gets frustrated. He's like, I don't know. I don't hear the Lord. I don't. And if he gets anything, it's like a one word thing. And I just don't know. And it sounds kind of more generic. And so when he came out with conviction too, and he told me, I'm like, oh, this is different. And so I'm like, but I had to wrestle. Like, I want to honor that. And I feel like that could be from the Lord, but I have to actually then take a step to like kind of provide covering for him to actually enact that. And I'm like, oh, it was good. It was a good wrestling for me, but I felt fear and fear of man, like what the doctor going to think, fear of, okay, is this going to cause harm and I'm responsible, and all these different things were trying to creep in. But really it was a really good experience. But then it was that faith first, and then, oh, step out into faith. And then the fear came after, and I thought, oh, that's a little different.
I think like something that I struggle with a lot of is trust in the Lord, like hearing from him, but like, mm-hmm. more so like trusting that it is him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, it's like during this waiting season, it's hard. 'Cause like I'm impatient. I was on the 504 plan, ADHD, right? Like, I just can't sit still, and like being like sitting still and like listening for the Lord has been hard. Mm-hmm. Especially like something so big, like starting my career, like, mm-hmm. like I'm barely like 20, like barely about to turn 20. Mm-hmm. And I'm like worried about my future.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where like I'm about to like, just like give up on the time that I spent with mm-hmm. that, with that trade school, like, mm-hmm. and just join the Marines. My mom says no, but join the Marines. And like with that, it's like, that's been hard, like kind of like struggling with that and like, mm-hmm. staying persistent in that and trusting the Lord that he's got my future. He's got everything like planned out ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just waiting for me to make the right steps. But yeah, it's just been hard.
Yeah.
With that fear aspect in it, of not knowing.
Yeah, I think when you were describing that too, it really ties in with the class. And really the class is learning how to trust that you do hear from the Lord, and those are the things that he says, and being confident. And it highlighted to me, even in my experience or my encounter with my son, is that he doesn't have that background yet. And so I need to help him discern, like, yeah, I think that sounds like that's alignment with how God would treat us and not put us in harm and just different things. But he doesn't have that framework yet. And in that class, we do that. We have facilitators at the table to try to help people, like, yeah, I'm not sure if that might be your own thought or your own way of reasoning it in. Oh, no, that definitely sounds like the Lord. And so then you need that feedback, and you need to be able to bounce things off. And I'm sure in this season too, like, you need people to be able to go to your parents and other people to be like, I feel like I should go to this and this. And then you need sound advice. And then we also need that when we're trying to learn to trust the Lord.
Yeah. And I'm definitely thankful for Mike and Collins, because they are my facilitators for my group. And, and like,
they listen to the pod too, so they're going to hear, shout out Mike and Collins.
Shout out Mike and Collins. Thank you very much. best group facilitator. Sorry, Kyle.
I'm gonna have a rumble with Mike. We're gonna
no, but they've definitely really helped me.
Gain
my confidence that it is the Lord and that I've been hearing. Yeah. But yeah, I just wanted to thank them for that.
Yeah. No, and that's what it's about. It's like we've all had to learn that in different ways, and some have come easier than others, but most of it gets expedited when you have that ability to ask other people and to bounce things off. When you just try and do it yourself, you can still make progress, but it can be a lot more banging your head against the wall and tripping over things when you didn't need to.
Yeah, I really feel like this is a season for us as a church, and not that it's just this 6-week season, but I think it's going to be longer than that. But as a church, for the whole congregation to learn and practice hearing the Lord's voice. And Kyle and I've been talking about listening to this Jamie Winship podcast and things like that, which is focused on hearing God's voice. Pastor Barry's been talking about it a lot. You know, I really feel like that is something that is going to really just enhance the faith of the people in our church, being able to hear God's voice. Because to me, it takes a lot of faith for the people that don't hear God's voice, but still continue to follow Jesus, right? It's like if their whole background is just hearing sermons or reading the Bible, and they're not hearing directly from the Lord, I feel like that takes a lot of faith to continue to press into the faith. That I feel like that takes a lot of faith, you know? And then so I feel like, and it could be pretty dry because you're just doing off willpower, right? But when you're able to hear the Lord's voice, it really just enhances your faith, your trust. It enhances everything. So I really feel like that's what the Lord wants to do, is he's trying to help us to level up and experience more life. And I feel like hearing his voice is going to really help us do that.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think hearing God's voice is such a key for overcoming fear. If you're trying to do it on your own and you're guessing and you're just doing it from your own understanding and knowledge, it's like, yeah, it gets you through certain things. But when the harder things in life come, you need to have, you need to have that communication with the Lord.
Yeah. Recently I went to a CrossFit thing with my dad, which is iron sharpens iron. And so basically we do like a Bible study beforehand a lesson, and then a workout pertaining to that Bible study. Mm-hmm. It sounds hard to do, but the way I explain this makes sense. So what we went over was how you do the little things is how you do the big things. And with that, like, I thought about, like, how I do my little prayers. Like, if I were to pray for, like smaller decisions, like, and just hearing the Lord in that, it makes it easier for me to hear the Lord in the bigger decisions. Because how would I expect to hear the Lord in the big things if I don't pray about the small things? It kind of set into stone with the workout we did was big weight. And then we just have to keep adding more weight after each set. But you have to keep the same form, as if it's the first lightweight you did. That was hard. So it made me like kind of realize the difficulty behind it. Like, it's not just, oh, I got to do this. No, it's like, oh man, this is going to be difficult, but I want to do it. Like, I need to do this.
No, I think that's a good point to bring up about faith too. It's, especially with the Lord, and as he matures us, he doesn't want us, there's times where he has us leap into like big things in faith, but usually they're little steps of faith. And then those ones build up on the next ones. But yeah, you're right. If you don't have that foundation of hearing from the Lord and being secure in that and your identity and things like that, as you start getting further along, then your form could be bad, right? You could hurt yourself, or then you could be getting off target, kind of being out of alignment, and then that can get you in a bad place too spiritually.
Yeah, I really like that illustration, because I mean, I think a lot of us feel like, okay, when it's the big things, that's when I'm going to go to the Lord. And you know, if we were just to pick up that weight right away, it's like, oh man, I'm definitely going to hurt myself, or I'm not going to be able to do it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I can't do it.
But then if we're, you know, starting with the small things and then working our way up, that really prepares us to actually live out what we keep saying we're going to do, which is trust the Lord in the big things. It's like, well, if we're not trusting the Lord in the small things, are we prepared to take that leap when it is something that's more difficult?
And I really like how Pastor Barry, like, and everybody behind the whole like boot camp, like put together and made the questions for the homework. How it is a little bit more on the smaller side of praying to the Lord and asking him to hear from him. And like that really gives us like a prompt, like way to prep ourselves to just pray over the smaller things. Like, how do you see me for my identity? And
I know you shared a little bit in service testimony of one of your journal entries. Is there any question that really stands out to you that has really impacted you of, you know, the few weeks that you guys have had homework?
I think it was that same question. How does God see me? And like with my whole identity and with my whole like walk with like the evangelism side of it, that's been something that I really do love. And I feel like I've been called to do that. And like I was talking with Jerry, this is the same conversation we were having, about my whole like experience with evangelism and sometimes not even knowing when I am evangelizing because the Lord's speaking through me, which is, which is really cool. And like I spoke a little bit about it. One of my roommates, I lived with him for like six months. Yeah. He was an open Satanist and really like would say some like kind of like mean stuff about me going to church, and that was hard. But that whole conversation was really just showing him God's love. That time that I had with him in the church, if you weren't there that service, essentially like we just spent like an hour speaking about the Lord and how much he loves it. Cause he did ask me if I wanted to read his Satanist Bible. I said no, but he ended up explaining some part. He's like, it's not what you think. He said, it preaches about you are your own God. That's what he told me it was about. And like, to do good for everybody and love everybody for like what they are. And I immediately as a follower of Christ, you're like, oh, okay. this isn't exactly right at all. But I'm really just gonna ask God what he wants me to show him, and he wanted me to show him his love and how his love is unconditional, whereas the enemy's love is conditional, which is really what we talked about. And I'm super thankful for that time, because he was asking me questions like he was understanding and really listening to me. So planting a seed in him, even though I wasn't that 20th out of 20th seed, to transition from like the promise of hell to the promise of heaven, and like, still super like blessed to be a part of that, his journey.
Do you want to expand on what you mean by the 20th out of 20th seed? Cause I think there's some people that might get it, but I think there might be people that need a little bit more explanation of what you're talking about with that. Cause I think that's a really good perspective to have. So can you share a little bit about what that means?
Yeah, you taught me that.
Oh, I did?
Yeah,
oh,
you did. I did. Oh, that's why you brought it up. Toot your own horn here.
I did? When did I teach you that?
February 22nd, 2019. Oh. Magnetic.
Man, you remember dates and everything.
No, I just made that up.
And I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's making that up.
Like, dang.
I like that.
Something that I said was so impactful. You remember the date that I said it? Wow.
Oh, no.
And now he just popped that bubble in your head right now.
Oh, it was a time that I shared at Magnetic.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we were preparing for YWAM and evangelism, and you spoke about like praying for people and like helping them plant seeds, right? Planting seeds, just like sharing God's love for them and like for a non-believer. And let's say like in their lifetime, it takes 20 people for them to turn to God, or like really like be like, oh, this is real. Like the Lord hears me. The Lord is here with me always. But like, if you're not the one, like let's say like God asks you to pray for them, and like, oh, this is going to change their, like God's like, oh, this is going to change them. And you go and pray for them. And then you ask like, would you want to accept Jesus into your heart? And they're like, no, like they say no, you still planted a seed in them. Part of like let's say like you're the 17th seed, three more people do the same thing, and then eventually on the 20th they're like, okay, I think I'm ready to accept the Lord, like in their walk. So yeah, it's just being a part of that building block of their journey with the Lord.
That was a good lesson, Christian.
I'm like, how are you going to follow? How are you going to follow this now?
I'm going to pat myself on the back. That was a good lesson. Yeah. You know, I think that for me is one of the paradigms that the Lord has shifted for me is, you know, before evangelism used to be super scary because it's like, what if they say no? What if they say no? What if they say no? Right. And so we're talking about fear to faith. Like, I think for a lot of Christians, like, that's a fear is like getting rejected, mm-hmm. especially when you're sharing your faith. But what the Lord was telling me and what I wanted to share with you guys with Magnetic was that, you know, each person in that chain is important, mm-hmm. yeah. right? So if it takes 20 people for that person, or 20 times that they hear the gospel, or 20 times that someone prays for them, or 20 times, if it takes that number and we're number 15 or 12 or 10, they might totally reject us. But that's an important step for them to get to 20 because they're not going to get to 20 without 12, 13, 14, 15.
Yeah.
Right. And so if we're one of those ones in the middle, we might not get to see the fruit or the benefit. We might not see them turn. But knowing that, yeah, we were a part of that journey that they had to coming to faith.
It's a huge blessing if you think about it.
Yeah. The Lord has chosen us to, as an honor position, to be a part of that person's journey of coming to him. And I think that's pretty cool. and we're all just sitting here looking at each other. Okay. So as we're talking about fear to faith, one question that I wanted to throw out to both of you guys, is something that I've been wrestling with and I don't have an answer. So I'm not trying to like impose an answer because I really don't have an answer, but, I was listening to something, and the person was talking about fear and the person was talking about it and said, God doesn't want to make us brave. God wants to make us fearless. And so I think the connotation is God wants us to be the type of people that aren't afraid to step into what he wants us to do and not just the type of people that are really afraid and we're just going to do it anyway. I don't know where I stand on that whole thing, but I wanted to throw it to you guys. Since we're talking about fear and faith, how do you guys feel about that? Like, do you feel like the Lord wants to make us fearless, or do you feel like the Lord wants to make us brave?
Well, I mean, just more clarification. Is fearless, so brave means the fear is there, you're just overcoming it, but fearless is like, no, I'm not even letting the fear entertain.
Yeah, we're not even entertaining the fear.
Okay. Deep thoughts.
Well, I thought it was appropriate because I feel like, you know, watching Christian grow up and watching him climbing all the fences at church, like, man, that kid has no fear, right? And we might say that about people, mm-hmm. like they have no fear, right? And it's like, oh, is that really how God wants us to be? Or does he want us to be on the other side, brave, right? Because for me, as someone that generally has had more fear, like, I feel like, okay, well, I'm just trying to get to the point where I'm brave and I'm able to face those fears or stand up to those fears. Mm-hmm. But is it really God wants to transform me into someone that's not afraid anymore and wants me to be fearless? Again, I don't have an answer, so that's why I'm asking you guys.
I know. I mean, this is a deep one. Well, I mean, I think to answer that, too, you have to acknowledge, like, what Christian alluded to earlier was the healthy fear. So I think when you say you're fearless, then it's like, well, there's some fear I think that's still good and beneficial. So I think, and that person's probably thinking, or in the context is fearlessness towards the unhealthy, the bad, the negative type of fear. So if we frame it that way, then I'm like, okay, I think that's the Lord's intent, because if we are really abiding in him and we're aligned with him, the fear doesn't have a way to affect us or attach to us. So then I think that's maybe more of like the sanctification type of view. Like, yeah, that's the ultimate place, is to get to being fearless. So yeah, I could agree with that. But I think in reality, we need to learn to be more brave, and then we're never going to get to the fearless, the ultimate one. Maybe in certain areas we can be fearless for a season, or we can be fearless towards this thing now. So I think little incremental things, but blanket, that's like, that seems like more, that's the end game in heaven.
Yeah, with like the end game. I think with the fearlessness, the way I see it, is more so like destructive in like my opinion, like how you're saying, like with the dangerous kind of a fearlessness. Mm-hmm. That's just my initial thought. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the Lord wants us to be more so brave, where it gives us that room to have like the fear, like the, not only the fear of like safety, but also like to have like the fear of the Lord in that sense as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a hard question.
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of things like fear of the Lord, right? That's a command that the Lord gives us, like to fear Him, right? And but what is that? I mean, is that translated correctly? Is our version of fear the same as that?
Right.
Like when we hear fear, are we supposed to be afraid of Him, or is it more like a respect, a healthy respect, like those types of things? Yeah. So I mean, like I said, this question has been something that I've been.
So when you heard it or you've been wrestling, like what are some of the things that pop into your mind, or that you struggle with?
I mean, initially, I think for me, like the bravery aspect of it, at least when I hear bravery, I think of it as a will thing, right? And so I feel like it's, okay, in my will, I'm going to intentionally go against my fear.
Yes,
like that's what.
You're the one overcoming it.
Yeah, so it's on me. Mm-hmm. And then so when I was wrestling with like the fearless part, it's like, oh, is that more like being aligned with the Spirit? So I'm not afraid to move.
So you have your Kevlar suit on and the fear just like slides right off.
Yeah, something like that. Or, you know, I have my parachute so I can jump out of the plane. But yeah, I don't know. I still feel like I'm not clear on that. So that's what, you know, like I said, I wanted to throw it out there to you guys.
Yeah. And I think it's good, like even you saying that, cause I think it does matter how we define things and how we interpret the word brave, the word fearless, and then we can all have our own, way of seeing it. So then that affects how you answer it and how you just, but then as we describe it, then it's like, oh yeah, that's a different way than I was seeing it, or that is the same way, and then that helps bring clarification.
So what you're saying is it's about semantics.
Yes, as Robert would say in our men's Bible study last night.
Yeah, shout out to our men's Bible study. Shout out to Robert Harris for teaching the men's Bible study and teaching us about semantics.
Yeah, but I think that's where there can be miscommunication, there can be misunderstanding, there can be conflict because of those kind of things too. We don't understand we're not seeing things the same way, or we're not understanding the words the same way.
I think like something that came to mind with like when you're like, is it like lost in translation with the, like the fear of the Lord? One thing I heard was I think it was from Tony Evans, about like how it's like a fatherly fear. Like, like let's say you break a vase in the house, like, you know, your dad's gonna be mad, but like, a lovingly kind of mad. It's like you have that respect for his feelings towards that, and towards like the things that you do, that you're afraid of him, but you still love him in a way.
No, that's where it does get kind of confusing, where you use that fear in a healthy, positive way, but that it's still really hard to grasp. But then it's like, oh, but we're used to it in the negative, the I don't want it, I want to get rid of it. So, yeah, even having the same word used two different ways is emotionally hard, cognitively, it can make it harder to wrestle.
Yeah, so I think even when we talk about fear to faith, I think it's important to make sure that we're looking at it through the right lens, mm-hmm. and having the right... And as we're talking about it, at least talking it through to the point where we're all on the same page as what we mean by each of the words that we're using. It's kind of interesting, yeah, how the enemy tries to twist our words and twist things so that we're all talking about something totally different, and trying to get to an agreement on what we're trying to talk about, but we're not even on the same page.
Yeah, I think it's totally different sometimes, but sometimes it's just different levels. Like where you're in your maturity, you don't understand it the same way. And so being gracious to understand that, oh, they haven't experienced things the way I have, so their understanding is different. Or even going upward, like, man, like I don't understand where they're at because they've gone through things differently, and being okay with that. But I want to pursue more of that. So, yeah, the understanding, but the experiential aspect of it as well.
All right, so I think we're starting to come up towards the end of this episode. Christian, is there anything else that you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Take the step of faith. Mm-hmm. Like for example, like in the season of waiting, like I feel like I talked to Garrett, he worked for Ahava. Mm-hmm. And like God was telling me, like, you want to work with ministry, right? Go talk with Ahava. Mm-hmm. And like today, like Damon asked me, like, you want to do like a hybrid kind of work, being like hearing about hearing the Lord, hear like being ministry, and like helping with that, like kind of behind the scenes almost, mm-hmm. of what that looks like, and like taking that step of just asking him, like that's been such a huge blessing for me. Mm. But yeah, just take the step of faith.
Yeah, it can be in small ways. But then you look back and you're like, why did I think that was so big? But it's getting that momentum and that moving forward is key.
Yeah, so I think we have a few more weeks of this series.
Yeah, I think two, maybe three.
So as we're...
But in between there, we have our Africa team is going to be leading church service as well, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, and I think there is a little bit of fear as we... It's a healthy fear of, like, we have a lot of moving parts for that service, so hopefully they...
No, but I think it's not... I think there are certain people that are going to be stretched, too, but they haven't mm-hmm. been in certain positions or certain roles. It's gonna be a good maturing type of thing, so...
Yeah, so we're all trying to step out in faith and go where the Lord wants us to go. So, Christian, just wanted to say thank you for coming on and being open to coming on the podcast, and... You know, we might ask you again in the future because I think you did a good job.
Yeah, maybe you can get on more than your mom and you can like...
The battle for the podium. The battle for the podium.
Trish hates when we bring that up. She's like, why do you guys always say that? And I'm like, oh, it's just fun.
So which LaChico will be on the podium at the end of the year?
We just can't stop talking.
We'll leave that one alone.
All right. Well, thanks again, Christian.
Thank you.
Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.